You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Wesley Ure from Land of the Lost. I played Will, and my entire performance on that show was, "Run, Holly, run! There's a dinosaur!"
Hi, this is Kathy Coleman.
Hi, this is Phil Paley. I played Chalk on Land of the Lost.
You're listening to The Flopcast.
Flopcast rocks!
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 534.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Aw, yeah. It's Flopcast time. Hey, Kevin.
Oh, you're way more excited about this than I am.
Hey, I've got a good in the neighborhood. What can I say? How are you?
I'm okay. I think we want to keep it short again this week.
Yeah, it's too hot for a long show.
We're just coming out of a crazy, like, week-long heat wave.
Very, very toasty.
And we're starting a little bit later than normal tonight because, just to disclose this to the listeners, before we started recording, we spent like 10 minutes comparing key lime pie recipes.
It had to be done. This is important work.
That's the kind of fascinating conversations that go on before we hit the record button. That's what you missed. We should spin off a separate key lime pie themed podcast. That'll be a disaster. This will be a quick one. I've got a game for you. We're going to play a game, a stupid game that I just made up.
Oh, I love stupid games, as evidenced by the fact that I come up with them for you occasionally.
Usually you make the stupid games, but I thought I owe you a stupid game at this point. So that's what we shall do. Before that, Cornflake, how about National Whatever Day?
Well, I get this National Whatever Day that came to my attention for this week, and I'm going to put it right out there before I even say what the day is on August 6th. I already want to change it, Kevin, but I'm curious to see what you think of this. August 6th is National Clown Day.
Oh.
Yeah, we landed on clowns this week.
National Clown Day. Yeah, I can see why you're conflicted. Because clowns are problematic.
The challenge when I heard that it was National Clown Day, I was trying to think of a clown that I liked.
Yeah, it's got to be a short list. Usually when a clown shows up, it's a problem.
It's true. Well, when I think back, I can't say I've never liked a clown.
Yeah.
Because Bozo used to be on TV.
Yeah.
And I liked that when I was like,
did you though? Hello? Did you really?
I did. I didn't mind seeing Bozo the Clown.
I mean, Bozo, hugely successful as clowns go. It was a franchise. There were Bozos all over the country, and there was a cartoon. And
some say there still are.
The live-action show, they're still out there. But is it really any good? Does anybody really want to watch that? I would argue no.
No.
No. If you try to come up with a decent clown, I got to say Bozo is a rough start to that list.
Well, can you do better?
I don't know if I can. Willie Whistle.
Willie Whistle.
Willie Whistle, a local Boston area TV clown with a freakish whistle voice.
Oh, wow.
Creepy and weird. That's a terrible example of a clown also.
I think the long and short of it is we're struggling here to honor and celebrate clowns.
Well, they're scary. And, you know, they make horror movies about clowns.
It's true. I do appreciate the way that a number of them can all fit in one car. I find that to be highly economical.
That is one of their main skills, sure.
I like that. I like some of the things that they do, like some of their magic tricks and juggling. But I argue that you don't have to be a clown to do those
exactly.
Things.
Magic and juggling, that's not really clown stuff. That's clown adjacent. I mean, if a magician or a juggler shows up, you probably still want to leave the room, but not as quickly as if a clown walked in. All right, you have a way to fix Clown Day?
I think I do. You know I love a good aquarium.
Yeah.
So I would like to propose, in place of National Clown Day, figuring that nobody will miss it too much, National Clown Loach Day. Do you know what a clown loach is?
No, I don't know what that means. I've heard of a clownfish. Is that the same thing?
similar colors, but it looks kind of like tiger striped.
Yeah. Does it wear those giant shoes?
No, but it's got giant whiskers in the front.
Oh, that's pretty good.
They make clicking noises.
Oh, all right. Now you're talking.
Yeah, when they're happy or when they're being territorial, they make the clicking noises.
So this is a striped clownfish with a mustache, and it makes a weird clicking sound.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm in. I like it.
You're on board. Yeah. Oh, good.
Can you hear them clicking right through the glass at the aquarium?
Yeah. Sometimes I'm just sitting there, and if they want to communicate, they'll click at you.
Like in Morse code?
You hear it loud and clear.
Do they know Morse code? How specific do these clicks get?
Very.
They tap out, stop looking at me?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have 4 clown loach fish, and I named them after the monkeys. The small one is named Davy.
Oh, wow. And yours? Do yours click? You can hear them clicking?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool. Is that all the background noise that I have to edit out of the Flopcast every week? Are those your clicking clownfish? That explains what I've been hearing.
That's got to be what it is.
Yeah, tell them to keep it down. We're recording.
They kind of do what they want, because what am I going to do? Come in after them?
Yeah, all right. August 6th, tell them. They can make all the noise they want. That's their big day.
We're changing it.
Clown Day.
National Clown Loach Day. By the way, I did check. There isn't a Clown Loach Day anywhere else on the calendar.
Yeah, I could have told you that.
So you heard it here first.
Okay. All right. The reason I made up a game is because I got a book. I just got a new book.
What kind of book?
A big book published by Tomorrows, which is a great little publishing company. They do a lot of comic book themed books, like kind of about the history of comic books and stuff. This book is called American TV Comic Books from the 1940s to the 1980s. This is like a big book that goes year by year, and it's covering comic books that are based on TV series.
So the TV series came first, and then there was a comic book.
That's okay. Right. Because it's gone the other way many times, of course.
Oh, yeah. You know? That's what I usually think of.
Batman, for example. Yeah, this is, there's a TV show, then they make a comic book out of it. And it's been going on since the dawn of television.
Hey, that's pretty neat. I didn't know that there were enough of them that did that, that they could make a whole book out of it.
They made comic books out of everything. I was learning a lot just flipping through it. It was like, oh, there's a comic book based on that show. I had no idea. That kept happening as I flipped through the pages. They do some spotlights on some of the artists that drew a lot of these things. Really nice book. It's American TV Comic Books by Peter Bosch. Looks great. I've only just kind of flipped through it. I haven't done any deep reading in it yet, but I can recommend it, I think. And I made a game out of it for you.
I'm excited to hear what came of this, because I can't even imagine.
The game is called, I Should Have Come Up With a Clever Name for This Game. It occurs to me you always have a little name for your games. And
you don't know how many countless hours go into coming up with those.
That's most of the work goes into just coming up with the name, right? The game itself, usually pretty stupid. And don't get me wrong, this game is also very stupid, but even the name is even dumber because there is no name.
Oh, good. In keeping with tradition, I love a good dumb game.
It's the American TV comic book game, I suppose. We'll name it after the book. But simple enough, what I'm going to do is just name some TV shows. And the question is, did they make a comic book based on this TV show?
I like this game.
Could this be any simpler a game?
You can play it with a coin flip if you really want it. Yes. These are yes or no questions.
I should flip a coin and we'll see who does better, you or the coin. Do I have a coin is the question.
No, who has a coin these days?
Well, yeah, here we go. I got one. I just found a quarter.
Cool.
This may be all the cash we have here in the studio. This is a Rhode Island quarter. You know how they have special state quarters? I don't know if you've noticed.
You'd have a Rhode Island
one. It's been going on for about 25 years. It shouldn't be such a novelty at this point, but I was like, oh, look at that, Rhode Island.
Do the Rhode Island ones come directly out of Woonsocket?
This quarter must be directly from your favorite town, Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Yeah, there's a sailboat on it.
The USS Woonsocket?
Sure. There's no sailboats in Woonsocket. Rhode Island is the ocean state, but not Woonsocket.
No.
It's not on the beach.
No, it's not.
Woonsocket is landlocked. Got to go south, hit the beach. I went to the beach just a couple of weeks ago. You go to the beach all the time.
I do. I practically live there.
I rarely, not in Rhode Island. You're a little farther north. I actually did visit a Rhode Island beach recently. It was delightful. It was not in Woonsocket. But this quarter, celebrating Rhode Island, and we're going to, this will be Cornflake versus the random chance of a coin flip. Let's see who wins.
I like that. Cornflake versus coin. Are we going to decide heads or yes, tails or no?
Sure. I like that.
Okay.
The Rhode Island side is no. That's a good tip for living your life in general. Rhode Island, no.
No.
They should put that on the license plates. All right, let's try the TV comic book game, Cornflake. Simple enough. We're going to move in relatively chronological order, I think, from oldest to newest. I don't even know how many shows are on this list. It's a pretty big list. We'll try to move quickly. Let's start with one of my all-time favorite shows, Leave It to Beaver. Classic sitcom, The Cleaver Family. On the day that we're recording this, Tony Dow died today. Wally Cleaver, The Beaver's big brother, Wally Cleaver. Yeah, Tony just died today. We will certainly be talking about Tony when we do our memorial show. But today we're celebrating Leave It to Beaver. And the question is, was there a Leave It to Beaver comic book?
Yes.
You're saying yes. The coin says no. Already you're disagreeing with random chance.
Also disagreeing with random change.
And the answer is yes, there was. You are correct.
I would have been so upset if the answer had been no. I would have been like, who slept on that idea?
I don't think I was aware of that. I've never seen a Leave It to Beaver comic book. There were 6 issues of Leave It to Beaver comic books from 1958 to 1962.
That's neat.
I'd like to read some Leave It to Beaver. I'm reading a Leave It to Beaver novel currently, because as you may recall, I found a Leave It to Beaver novel at a shop a few weeks back, written by Beverly Cleary. But there are Beaver comic books out there. Good to know. Cornflake, the next show on the list, how about Mr. Ed?
That seems like one of the easiest shows you can make a comic book
Could
of.
The talking horse, Mr. Ed, have made it to the printed page as a comic?
There's an audience for that, too. I'm going to say yes.
Cornflake says yes. Coin also says yes. And the answer again is yes, there was a Mr. Ed comic book. 6 issues, 1962 through 1964.
I think you can almost do more with a comic book when it comes to talking horses than you can with a live television show.
Yeah, in a comic book, it's a lot easier to get the horse to do whatever you want.
I hope it wasn't just a comic of a horse talking to itself.
I don't think I want to read a Mr. Ed comic book. I don't think I could take it. How about the Beverly Hillbillies?
So specifically about the Beverly Hillbillies, not just a comic strip somewhere in something else or some kind of spoof.
Yeah, we're not talking about did they do it in Mad Magazine or anything. The question is, was there a dedicated Beverly Hillbillies comic book?
Man, that one could go either way.
Did you like the Beverly Hillbillies?
No. No? No, did you?
I guess. I know I watched it a bit a long time ago. What do you think? Was there a comic?
I'm going to be kicking myself if I'm wrong here, but I'm going to say no.
Cornflake says no. Let's see. The coin says yes. Another disagreement between you and random chance. The answer in this case is yes. Yes, there was a Beverly Hillbillies comic book. 21 issues.
Whoa.
Over a period of like 8 years. The comic ran from 1963 through 1971, sporadically. The TV show was on forever. You know, that was a long-running TV show, so I guess they kept putting out these comics occasionally.
It's a fun premise for a comic book.
I guess. I don't know. That'd be a tough sell for me. Oh, Cornflake, how about the Munsters?
Yes.
A quick yes from Cornflake. A yes also from the coin. And you're both right. Yes, there is a Munsters comic book. 16 issues, 1965 through 1968. That'd be good. I've never read the Munsters comic book, but I'll bet that's a good one.
Yeah. I immediately started imagining it. It just had to be. I would have been disappointed if it did not exist.
I watched a lot of Munsters as a little kid.
I liked the Munsters a lot.
But, you know, Monsters, I was always all in on any monster show.
I did not like Monsters, but I liked the Munsters.
But let's move on. Well, still on sort of a horror theme, how about Bewitched?
So I'm gonna give my answer and then I'm gonna double down.
Okay.
Not only do I think there was a comic,
yep,
but I want to guess that maybe if we're all lucky, it's on display somewhere in Salem, Massachusetts.
We know there's a statue. They have that wonderful Elizabeth Montgomery Bewitched statue in the middle of Salem, Massachusetts. I've visited it many times. Maybe they have the comics there as well. Who knows? Cornflake says yes. My coin also says yes. The answer is yes. There was indeed a Bewitched comic book. It's been all yeses so far, hasn't it? There's got to be some.
It has been.
Maybe I forgot to put I might have forgotten to put the fake titles in. Let's see as we go along.
Is there any information on that Bewitched one? Like, are there pictures in the book of what the comic looked like?
Oh, yeah. In fact, as soon as you open the book, on the very first page, there's a photo of Elizabeth Montgomery reading the Bewitched comic book.
Oh, that is cool.
Very cute photo, of course, because how could Elizabeth Montgomery take any photo that wasn't super cute? I'm guessing she just posed with the comic book for the picture. You know, she didn't really, probably wasn't actually.
She wasn't really engrossed, you know.
Wasn't really subscribing at home to the Bewitched comic. Yeah, she didn't care. She threw it down. Are we done? Lights up a cigarette. Screams at her assistant, you know.
I bet that's a really good looking comic.
I'm sure she was lovely. And yeah, it's probably a fun comic. I've never seen the Bewitched comic book. Let's move on. Oh, how about Bewitched Tricky Pal, I Dream of Jeannie?
I love that show. I love I Dream of Jeannie.
You prefer Jeannie to Bewitched?
I do.
I didn't really watch either one of them, although for some reason I prefer Bewitched.
But not by a lot. Like, I really like them both. So it's just maybe a hair more I like I Dream of Jeannie. And I'm going to say yes.
Yes to I Dream of Jeannie from Cornflake. The Rhode Island coin says no. The answer is yes. There was an I Dream of Jeannie comic book. Only two issues. Came out between 1964 and 1966.
I'd like to see those.
Yeah, why not? I feel like I might prefer the comic book to the TV series for some reason.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, Barbara Eden, still around. I've seen her at conventions a couple of times. She still goes out and does public appearances.
It's amazing.
Jeannie, yeah, incredible. Oh, hey, how about our favorite dolphin cornflake, Flipper? Is there a Flipper comic book? Can you do a dolphin story in comic book form?
I'm thinking there's got to be, complete with advertisements for star-kissed tuna, but
what? Oh no!
I'm gonna say no. Actually, let's go no for
Cornflake
this one.
Says no. Flipper comics. The coin says yes.
And if I'm wrong, I didn't want to be right anyway.
The answer is yes. There were Flipper comics. In fact, I'm pretty sure I have an issue of Flipper. I think I found a dirt cheap Flipper comic book a few years back. They only made three issues, 1966 to 1967. You can read a dolphin comic.
That's amazing.
What was that dolphin show out of Australia that you liked?
Dolphin Cove.
Dolphin Cove. Yeah, that's not on my list. I don't know if there was a Dolphin Cove comic book. Probably not.
That's a shame.
But at least we had Flipper. Cornflake, here's a tough one. This is a tough call. How about the Monkees? Did they make a comic book of the Monkees?
If they didn't, there's a serious historical wrong needs to be righted. So I'm going to guess, I really don't know. You're right, this is a tough one, but yeah. I'm going to guess yes, if only because there should have been one.
It's a yes because you just want there to be.
It's a yes because I want it to be that way.
My coin flip agrees with you. A yes. The answer is yes. There was a Monkees comic book, 17 issues. They made a pretty healthy run of Monkees comic books. 1967 it started, so during the run of the TV show, 67 through 69. I have one issue of the Monkees comic book in my collection, happy to say. I think they're not terribly easy to come by. I think they've all been either lost to time or snapped up by Monkees collectors over the years. I wish they'd do like a nice collected edition of the Monkees comics, because it'd be nice to be able to read all these things. I mean, they're silly. They're very cartoony, goofy little stories, you know.
Yeah, they are practically comic book characters on the screen.
Oh, sure. It makes
total sense with the wackiness and the hijinks.
They would dress up in their Monkey Men superhero costumes sometimes, just like a comic book characters. I've actually met the artist who drew the Monkees comic book series. A guy named Jose Delbo actually drew several licensed TV show based comic books back in the day.
That's really neat.
Yeah, I've met Jose a couple of times, the guy that drew most of the Monkees comics. So monkeys, a big yes. How about, here's a massive show, Cornflake, but was it ever a comic book? How about Star Trek?
That's an interesting question, Kevin, because I definitely have read Star Trek comics, but they were 100% spoofs.
Oh, you've read like Cracked Magazine presents a Star Trek parody?
It's something like that, yeah. And I don't think it was affiliated with any sort of major magazine. Uh-huh. I vaguely remember reading them from when I was a teen, and instead of being on the USS Enterprise, I think they were on the USS Endocrine or something like that.
Yeah, so, you know, solid comedy. Yeah. So was there a legitimate comic book adaptation of Star Trek?
Presume you're talking about the original.
Yes.
Let's say yes.
A yes from Cornflake. I'll flip the coin, and I got a no from the Rhode Island coin. And Cornflake, you are correct. The answer is yes. Of course they made Star Trek comic books.
How could they not?
Starting in 1967. And they just kept on going. And ever since, there have been Star Trek comics.
Think of all the cool aliens you can draw. You
know, starting in 67, all through the 70s. I think it was Gold Key Comics published it originally. Then Marvel published it for a while. Then DC picked up the license, published it for a long time. So Star Trek has bounced around to several different companies over the years. To this day, there have been a billion Star Trek comics. How about, however, The Flying Nun?
This game seems to be getting progressively harder.
And or weirder. The Flying Nun. Could Sally Field's Flying Nun have made it to the comic book page?
I'm going to go no.
Cornflakes, a no. Random Chance is a yes. And the answer, again, is yes. I still think they've all been yeses so far. There've got to be some no's in here at some point.
Tell me there weren't a bunch of them.
There were only 4 issues.
Okay.
So not a super long-running series. 4 issues of The Flying Nun in 1968.
I should have trusted my gut.
That's got to be a very weird comic book. That was a weird show.
You don't say.
I'm kind of surprised they made 4 entire issues of it. But speaking of strange ideas for a comic book, Cornflake, we're switching it up. How about from the world of game shows? Was there a comic book version of The Price is Right?
This has the markings of a trick question. I'm going to say yes.
Cornflake says yes. And we have a yes from my flip of the coin also. You're both wrong, finally, Cornflake. I guess this is our first no. Of course there's no Price is Right comic book. What were you thinking?
I think to make a comic book out of The Price is Right, you'd have to get pretty fanciful.
They could do a comic book on the yodeling guy.
They could do the yodeling guy. They could
do the mountain climbing yodeling dude. I would read that comic book.
Can you imagine a Price is Right adventure where they spin the prize wheel and the prize wheel rolls away and goes on an adventure and they have to catch it and bring it back to the studio? Because that is exactly what I was picturing when I said yes. Just so you
that
know.
That wheel terrifies me. When people spin that wheel, it's big and heavy and they end up like their head is like a half an inch from the razor sharp spinning edge of the wheel. Doesn't it always look like they're going to injure themselves?
Yeah. And it would most likely be a head or a face injury, I think.
Oh yeah. And yet they never do. Let's move on, Cornflake. How about getting back into sitcoms? Gilligan's Island.
Yes. I will be stunned if there isn't.
Cornflake say yes. The coin disagrees and says no. The answer, surprisingly, I believe is a no.
What?
At least I didn't see it in the book.
How is there not?
How did they miss that?
That's insane. Too busy making Flying Nun comics, I guess.
I'm going to cross-reference this. I'm flipping open my Overstreet comic book price guide right now just to flip over to the G section just to make sure.
If nothing else, I'm glad you're as shocked as I am.
I am shocked. I'm guessing this book is correct because it seems to be a very thoroughly researched, well-written book.
Yeah, it does seem comprehensive.
No, I don't see Gilligan's Island in the Overstreet price guide either.
What? An oversight.
How did they miss Gilligan? That would have been a great comic book. It would still be coming out today. They missed a bet there. That'd be like printing money.
Pretty much.
Let's see if we can secure the Gilligan's Island license. We'll start a Gilligan comic right now.
Printing money with Marianne's face on it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You put Marianne or Ginger on the cover every month.
It's perfect.
Sold. We're going to stick in the world of Sherwood Schwartz right now, Cornflake, because moving from Gilligan, how about the Brady Bunch?
I'm going to say no.
So the quarter disagrees. We have a split decision. The answer is yes, there was a Brady Bunch comic book.
Really?
And this was news to me. I didn't know about this until the book. I don't think I knew they made a Brady comic book.
This is why I said no, because I count on you to be the authority on all things Brady, and I don't think you've ever mentioned a Brady's comic book.
They made several Brady Bunch novels. We mentioned one on the show very recently. Because the day that I found that Leave It to Beaver book, I also found a Brady Bunch book. I think I have three Brady Bunch novels, and they may have even made more than that. They only made two issues of the Brady Bunch comic book in 1970.
Yeah, well, I didn't know this, and I blame you.
I accept full responsibility for your not knowing about the Brady Bunch comic. This one's on me.
You're supposed to know these things, and you're supposed to tell me about them.
Jose Delbo, the artist of the Monkees comic, also drew the Brady Bunch comic.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's probably really good then.
Very important guy. So from the Brady Bunch, we can transition right over to the Partridge Family. Was there a Partridge comic book?
No.
You said no to the Bradys. You said no to the Partridges. We have a no from the coin as well, and the answer is yes.
What?
It was a Partridge Family comic book.
Get out of here.
The Brady's only got two issues. Partridge's 14 issues.
What?
1972 to 73. And in fact, they even did a whole bunch of David Cassidy comic books. In addition to the regular Partridge Family comic, they spun off David Cassidy into a whole other comic because David Cassidy was such a massive star back then.
That is breathtaking.
I've never read a Partridge Family comic book. How about, oh, you know what? We're going to do a theme now. The theme is Sid and Marty Krofft.
Okay.
This book doesn't get into cartoons, by the way. There's no animation covered in this book, but it does have Saturday morning live action stuff. We're going to start with not a Krofft production, but a Hanna-Barbera production that they made the puppets, the costumes for, the Banana Splits. Was there a Banana Splits comic?
Yes.
Yes, from Cornflake.
I've realized you can't spend too much time thinking about these things.
You try not to think about the Banana Splits?
I do my best, but that theme song is so catchy.
Oh, I love the theme song. The coin flip also was a yes, and the answer is yes. There were eight issues of the Banana Splits. I believe I have an issue of Banana Splits, just one, I think.
That's neat.
The comic book ran 1969 through 1971. Now moving on to Sid and Marty Krofft out on their own, not with Hanna-Barbera, but Sid and Marty Krofft Productions, H.R. Puffin Stuff, the first Sid and Marty Krofft show. Was there an H.R. Puffin Stuff comic book?
No way.
The coin is a yes, and the answer is yes.
I can't have a coin beating me at this one. Come on.
The coin beat you in this case. Yes, there were eight issues of H.R. Puffin Stuff.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Sure. How about Sigmund and the Sea Monsters?
Yes.
Yes, from Cornflake. A no from the coin. And I'm sorry, you are incorrect.
I'm going to get beat by a coin.
Sigmund is a no, strangely.
Yeah, I can totally picture it.
Should have been a comic book. It ran for two seasons. It was one of the more successful Krofft shows. There was not a Sigmund and the Sea Monsters comic book. How about the Bugaloos? Those singing and dancing bug kids in the forest. Did they get a comic?
I'm going to go with they should have, but no.
A no from Cornflake, also a no from my coin. You're both incorrect. Yes, there was a Bugaloos comic.
That would have been hard to pass up. They seem like really good comic book material.
And it's a tough transition, I guess, because you lose the music. You know, they were a band. There'd be a song in every episode. But in comic book form, there were four issues, 1971 to 72. I don't think I have an issue of the Bugaloos, but I have seen some pages from these stories. They are fun.
Neat.
Very silly, cartoony looking.
Oh, I am sure they are adorable cartoons and comics.
Of course. How about your favorite, Cornflake? We're going to the land of living hats. It's Lidsville. Was there a Lidsville comic? A Oh, no.
Just to torment Joe Crow, I'm going to say yes.
Cornflake is a yes.
I'm a yes.
The nightmarish world of Lidsville. The coin is also a yes. And you are correct. There was a Lidsville comic. I know I have a Lidsville comic in my collection.
Nice.
It's fantastic. They made 5 issues of Lidsville, 71 to 72.
Neato, bandito.
How about our friends from DragonCon last year, Will and Holly, in the Land of the Lost? Was there a Land of the Lost comic book?
There better have been. Yes.
Yes, from Cornflake. Yes, from the coin. And strangely, no, there was not. They never made a Land of the Lost comic book.
That is crazy.
What a shame.
That's an abomination.
I mean, what are they waiting for? That they should start working on that right now.
I can't believe that they don't have that.
It's a massive oversight, a huge missed opportunity. I would love a Land of the Lost comic book.
Who wouldn't?
Let's please do that. How about, I believe this is something, this is a show that you discussed when you did a cartoon episode of the Classics Track online panels, the Croft Super Show. That was the anthology Croft series hosted by Captain Cool and the Kongs, and then including several shorter segments, Wonderbug, Dr. Shrinker, and so on. Did they make Croft Super Show into a comic book?
Gosh, this one definitely could go either way. Gonna say yes.
Yes from Cornflake, a no from the coin. Cornflake wins. Yes, there was a Croft Super Show series.
Nice.
6 issues, 1978 through 79. I have the complete run. I do have all 6 issues of the Croft Super Show comic book series.
Of course you do.
They were not expensive. I picked up the whole run pretty cheaply over the years. And yeah, it has little like interstitial pages with the band, with Captain Cool and the Kongs. And then there's little short stories with Wonderbug and Dr. Shrinker and Magic Mongo, Bigfoot and Wild Boy, I think. So yeah, fun little series. How about a show that I've been talking about over on the Batcave podcast over the years? How about Electra Woman and Dinah Girl?
I want there to be one. I say no, but I will be really happy if I'm wrong.
The coin is also a no. You are correct. Strangely and sadly, we never got an Electra Woman and Dinah Girl comic book.
That's a drag.
Yeah, because once again, just like with Land of the Lost, you know, come on.
And if the Croft Super Show could have one.
Because Electra Woman was part of the Croft Super Show at one point. But when they did the comic book, it was not included. How about getting back into primetime TV, Cornflake? How about MASH?
This is one of those crazy ones, Kevin, where there probably shouldn't have been a comic. But I bet you they did it anyway. So I'm going to say yes.
Somebody should have stepped forward and said, hey, wait a minute. How about
right?
We don't do a Korean War comedy comic books? But you think they did.
Somebody should have stepped in if this comic exists.
Cornflake is a yes. The coin is a no. So we have a split here, and the coin is correct. There is not a MASH comic book. So you lost this round, but you're probably happy to hear that there was not a MASH comic book. So we're all winners. How about the $6 million man?
I think no. I think it would have been cool if there was.
Okay, the coin has disagreed with a yes vote, and I'm afraid, yes, there was a $6 million man comic book. Only 7 issues, 1976 through 77. I think I only have one of these comics. They were not great, as I recall, but they did exist.
Yeah, they happened.
There have been some more recent $6 million man comics as well. In the 2000s, they've done a bunch of $6 million man comics, and some of them have been pretty good. In fact, even Kevin Smith, you know, the Clerks dude, Kevin Smith, well, he wrote a script for a $6 million man movie, which was never produced, but then he ended up turning that story into a comic book series a few years back.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But yeah, back in the day, back in the 70s, there was a comic series. How about the companion series to the $6 million man, The Bionic Woman? Was there a Bionic Woman comic?
Yes.
Yes, from Cornflake.
There had to be. Come on.
Yes, from the coin. You are correct. Yes, there was a Bionic Woman comic book. $6 Million Man ran 7 issues. Bionic Woman, only 5 issues, 77 through 78. I believe I have the complete run. I did snap up a complete set of Bionic Woman comics super cheap several years back. Again, these are not great. They were not really super high quality comics, but, you know, it's Bionic Woman, so.
Gets the job done.
Yeah, yeah. How about, this is taking way longer than I thought it would. My apologies to everyone.
I'm trying to answer quickly, too.
No, it's not your fault. It's my fault for making this list and this game way too long.
All right, so if I feel like I'm being put through the ringer, it's not just me being a wimp. There's a lot of questions here.
I have a newfound respect for the games that you put together, which are way better than mine.
Thank you.
It was a low bar for you to clear, but you did it.
Yeah.
How about, here's a weird one, Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yes. Somebody better have made this comic. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, you are a yes. The coin is a no, and you are correct. There was a Welcome Back, Cotter comic book.
Sweet.
1976 through 78. This one I definitely remember. I have a couple of issues of Welcome Back, Cotter. This was DC. DC Comics, surprisingly, produced this comic, because this was not the kind of thing that they produced. Most of these kind of sitcom-based TV shows were published, like, back in the 50s, 60s. It was Dell Comics and Gold Key Comics, which were sort of related companies. And then Charlton. It was this kind of scruffy little company called Charlton that did a bunch of the TV comics as well. But somehow, Cotter ended up at DC Comics, and they were pretty fun comics. I do have a couple.
That's awesome.
Yeah. How about favorite of ours? We've done a whole flop fight about The Love Boat.
Oh, man. I know it can't work out this way, but I feel like anything I answer is going to be wrong here. I am going to say no. I'm going to say there wasn't a comic.
Cornflake is a no. The coin is also a no. You're both right. We got no Love Boat comic books. That's a shame.
It is a crying shame, but I can see maybe why it might have been difficult. Because would you have had to use or get the permission of the likeness of every single guest star?
Yeah, it'd be hard to use celebrity guests on the show, yeah. I suppose. You could secure the rights to the main cast, but you'd have to lose the whole celebrity guest angle, I suppose. It'd be tricky.
Only a little. I can't imagine.
I still think we have to try.
Yeah, I can't imagine that a lot of the stars that appeared on The Love Boat would have said no.
They could have at least gotten the rights to use Charo in every issue.
That would have rocked.
That would have been fine. How about Happy Days?
Yes.
Oh, an instant yes. Very confident in the...
And I don't care if I'm wrong.
The idea of a Happy Days comic. My coin flip is also a yes. You are correct. There was a Happy Days comic. 6 issues, 1979. I do have just one issue of the Happy Days comic. It was not great, as I recall, but I do love that it exists. A lot of these comics, they look great on the outside. They'd use photo covers. So the image on the front cover would be an actual photo of the TV show.
But inside?
Inside.
All stick figures.
Yeah, the art did not always live up to what was promised on the cover when you open it up. But like, too late, kid, we got your quarter. That was Happy Days. How about, related to Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley? Was there a Laverne and Shirley comic?
Yes. Yes, yes, please.
Please. We're begging you. Charlton Comics, you were publishing Happy Days already. Couldn't you have done Laverne as well? My coin toss was also a yes, but sadly, no. There was not a Laverne and Shirley comic book.
That's messed up.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how they missed that one. But let's keep it going, because another Happy Days spinoff, which we just talked about last week when we made them form a new A-team. How about Mork and Mindy? You turned them into the M team last week. We mashed up Mork and Mindy and the A team. Now, was there a Mork and Mindy comic?
I'm going to say no, and that it was a missed opportunity.
That would have been a huge miss if you are correct. The coin toss is also a no, and you are correct. There was no Mork and Mindy comic book.
Well, hooray for me being right, but still, boo.
We all missed out on what could have been. But speaking of the M-team, how about the A-team? Was there an A-Team comic?
I think there's something wrong with the world if there wasn't. So I'm going to say yes.
Yes. Yes, from the coin. The
coin is working hard.
Well, you are both correct. There was an A-Team comic from Marvel. Marvel published just 3 issues of the A-Team in 1984.
Still pretty neat.
And yes, needless to say, I do have all 3 issues. And then there have been a bunch of different Mr. T comics over the years since then. But A-Team itself, just 3 issues. They're pretty good. I like it.
I was going to ask if you had them, but deep down I already knew.
In your heart, you knew that, of course, I had the A-Team comics. how about Dukes of Hazzard?
Yes. There may have been some problems with it, but yes.
The coin disagrees and says, no, I'm afraid, Cornflake, you are not correct. There was not a Dukes of Hazzard comic, surprisingly.
That's nuts.
They got a Saturday morning cartoon. So did Mork and Mindy. So did Laverne and Shirley, actually. But none of those shows got a comic book.
I'm just picturing the General Lee jumping from one page to the next and thinking, that definitely should have been a comic book in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but, you know, probably for the best that it was not.
Yeah.
In retrospect. Just a couple left. Folks, okay. We're almost at an end. I'm so, so sorry this dragged on forever. Just a couple more.
I'm having fun. This is cool.
Oh, good. How about Alf?
That's an interesting question right there, because I know that there were baseball cards because I had the Alf baseball cards. Yep.
With the gum? Did it come with gum?
It did. Terrible gum, but that's the way it goes with baseball cards.
I actually have another book here that I just got called The Wonderful Artwork of Wax Wrappers. And it's like a photo book of the art on the wrapper that the bubblegum cards came in.
That's neat.
Yeah. So it has photos of like Star Wars cards and Jaws, Supergirl. Let me see if the Alf cards are... Yes, here it is. I just opened to the Alf trading cards and stickers in their wax wrapper.
They had... Booyah baseball is what they played.
It says it right on the wrapper. I'm looking at that now. I didn't know what that meant. What is that? Is that an actual sport that Alf played?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that.
Like the fish soup, booyah base, yeah. But it's booyah baseball.
So that's on Alf's home planet. That's what they play?
Melmac. Yes.
Yeah. I'm looking at the wax wrapper from the bubblegum cards in this weird little book. Right on the wrapper, it says special booyah baseball card inside. So you had those cards. Maybe we can make another way too long game sometime called Was There a Bubblegum Card Set? Because I've got a whole other book here we can use.
I probably should object after tonight's episode, but I won't. I think that could still be fun. Let's say yes, and let's instantly regret it, but let's say yes anyway.
Yes to Alf comic book from Cornflake, the coin flip. Disagrees and says no, but you are correct. Yes, there was a long-running Alf comic book series from Marvel. Ran 50 issues.
That's amazing. I've got to get my hands on this.
Yeah, plus a bunch of special issues. I do have 1 or 2 issues of Alf. I know I have like the Christmas issue of Alf. The Alf series ran from 1988 through 92.
Hopefully it ended happier than the TV show.
And I've got just one more for you, Cornflake. End of the list.
Wow, I never thought I'd see the end of this list, but lay it on
me.
We're
ending on a big one, and in honor of our buddy Joe down at Dragon Con, because we are getting ready for Dragon Con right now, but we're going to end on Joe's favorite show. You know what that is.
It's Manimal, isn't it?
We're ending with Manimal. Was there a Manimal comic book?
You know, this is, out of all of them, Kevin, this is the one I really don't want to be wrong on. And yet, I have no clue. So, let's go wishful thinking and say yes.
Cornflake is a yes. My final coin toss is a no.
I'm bracing myself for an upset.
The answer is weird. I'm going to say you're both right.
How is that possible?
There was a Manimal comic book. Just a single issue of a Manimal comic book in 1986, which was 3 years after the TV show came out.
Right.
However, it's not actually an adaptation of the TV series, but it's still Manimal. It's called Manimal, so I'm going to count it as a yes and a no. It's a reprint of stories from the 70s from South America, I think. It's from another country called Manimal.
But that's really generous of you to count it then, if it's not an adaptation of the TV show.
It was about a guy with animal-like powers. And I do have a copy of this comic. So it's very strange that this thing even exists. But they did this reprint in America in 1986. It's a Manimal comic. But everybody wins when it comes to Manimal, you know?
You got that right.
All right, I'm going to need about an hour and a half, and I'm going to add up the scores.
Oh, good. I need a nap. You count. I'm just going to get some shut-eye over here.
Okay, Cornflake, the judges have returned with their scores, with their final tabulations. Assuming I've added everything up correctly, and let's face it, there's not much chance of that being the case. There's an excellent chance these numbers are wrong, but I tried, and I believe there were 34 shows on this list.
Okay.
You got more than half of them right.
Nice.
Your score out of 34 is 19.
Oof.
It's pretty good.
It's okay.
Now the question is,
oh no,
did you beat this Rhode Island quarter? I will say it was very close.
Oh, the coin beat me, didn't it?
The coin's score. Your score was 19. The coin's score was 23. I'm so sorry, Cornflake. You have lost the stupid TV comic book game to this Rhode Island quarter.
Oh, does this mean that this forces me into early retirement? That, like, next week people are going to tune in and it's going to be you and the coin hosting this show.
That's right. The winner moves on to continue co-hosting the Flopcast. Yeah.
The Flopcast, now with the Rhode Island coin.
Yes, we all have that to look forward to next week. Okay, I cannot believe how long this game lasted. I'm so glad it's over.
Well, it may be over for you, but it's going to leave scars I'll never forget.
It made a really stupid game, but this book does seem really cool, though. I do recommend the book American TV Comic Books, 1940s through 1980s by Peter Bush.
It's neat to know that out there somewhere are all these comics.
Yes, we learned a lot here tonight. Cornflake, before we wrap up, I think you had something to plug, right?
I do. Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
I got beamed up to the station for ESO. I think it might have been your idea, rumor has it, but
this was the Earth Station 1 podcast?
Yeah, episode 639 should be out by the time that you can listen to this edition of the Flopcast. Uh-huh. It was a look back at Gordon, an album by the Barenaked Ladies, because it's the 30th anniversary this year of Gordon.
Yeah, I heard that they had a Bare Naked Ladies themed show in the works, and I did toss your name out to the Earth Station 1 crew. I said, if you need somebody else to be on that show, you give Cornflake a call. So that's nice to hear that they did.
I'm pretty sure that they had the impression that there would be dire consequences if I was not included.
Well, they're not wrong.
I had so much fun. It was a great chat. So we had a good time talking all about the album and the musical stylings of the Barenaked Ladies.
Well, I mean, almost every week on the Flopcast, you try to turn this into a discussion of the Barenaked Ladies. Now I have to keep cutting you off and steering us back on course.
It's true. I have finally gotten my fix, though.
You could finally let loose and just do some all BNL talk on Earth Station 1. That's great. So we will have a link to this episode of Earth Station 1, our flagship show here on the ESO Network with Cornflake.
It was good.
You didn't even have to compete with a quarter on that show.
No, I didn't.
Good. Well, I'm sorry that's what happened here tonight. This has all been a huge mistake. Cornflake, get us out of here.
I got to pick my feelings up off the floor first. Well, if you trust me over a coin flip, I can tell you where to go to find this show between episodes. Check us out at flopcast.net, facebook.com/flopcast. On Twitter, our handle is @flopcast. And on Instagram, we are the_flopcast. We hope that you'll consider heading over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a rating and or a review so other folks can find the Flopcast, now with more Rhode Island coin. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
Cornflake, has there ever been a comic book based on the Sponge Awareness Foundation? What do you think?
No.
You say no? Let me flip your buddy the coin here again.
That coin is not my friend.
The quarter disagrees and says yes. In this case, I'm not even going to look it up. We'll just leave it a mystery who won this final round. Everybody, thanks for joining us tonight for a long, goofy show. And please remember, be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and coin flips.
Hey, Martha.
What?
Do you like nerd stuff?
I do.
And do you like adult beverages?
I super do.
Well, then you should join us with a drink.
With a drink.
With a drink. But first, let's talk nerdy.
Clink. On the ESO Network.
We'll see you
on Tuesday. Maybe next Tuesday.
Maybe.
Cornflake, it's the secret after show. Just real quick, bonus round. I've got one more for you.
Oh, come on. Haven't I been through enough?
Just one more, because it was my mistake. I skipped over this one on my list. So just for one final stupid round, how about Lancelot Link Secret Chimp? That was Saturday morning, live action, chimps running around in a spy caper. Lancelot Link Secret Chimp. Did they make that into a comic book full of talking monkeys?
It's got to be yes, because it would have been a huge missed opportunity if they hadn't.
Cornflake is a yes. The coin is a no. So for this final bonus round, I'm happy to say, Cornflake, you did not win the main show, but you won the after show. You are correct. The coin is wrong. Yes, of course, there's a Lancelot Link Secret Chimp comic book. Congratulations.
I will take my after show win.
You knew about that already, didn't you? You subscribed. Never missed an issue.
Well, it's
it's the only thing you've ever read.
Yeah, and my teachers aren't too thrilled about it, but it's true.
How many book reports did you try to write in school about chimp comics?
Oh, all of them.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.